Please take your Bibles and look at Psalm 34. Today is August the 14th, 2022. This morning we are going to be looking into God's Word regarding praising God. And I thought a really good place to start would be here in Psalm 34. So if you are there, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 34 is a great psalm of deliverance, of God's deliverance, God's protection, God's healing. And regardless of what's going on around us, what's going on in us, where do we look for our deliverance, our protection, and our healing? Who do we look to? We look to our God, absolutely. It's really noteworthy how this great psalm of deliverance begins. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boast of the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Exalt the Lord. God used five different but similar words at the beginning of this psalm of deliverance. And bless means to praise or adore. The word praise there is, it's not the main word for praise. It's comes from that word, but that word praise there in verse 1 is a song or hymn of praise. Boast means to shine praise or to boast. Magnify means to make great or powerful. You know, ever had a magnifying glass? Makes things bigger, right? Exalt means to exalt with praises. A great starting point in those times when we would need deliverance or protection or healing is to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, to boast of the Lord, to magnify the Lord, to exalt the Lord. Because when we do that, where is our focus? On our need or on our great God? When we're giving God great praise and boasting of Him and thinking of how wonderful He is, our focus shifts to God. And so I'm not saying that you just go around and go, God is great, everything's fine. I don't have any problems. God is great. God is great. I don't have any problems. It's not denying that we have a need, but rather it's putting our focus on God, how great He is, how powerful He is. And that He is the one who delivers. He's the one that protects. He's the one that heals. As you know, there are many examples in the Bible where we can see of God's great power and deliverance. And when we read those records, it reminds us of just how good God is, how powerful He is, how God has solutions. And then when we give God the praise that He deserves, that again reminds us of His great power. And all of that helps us to keep our focus on God, and it helps us to continue to trust Him and believe Him. It's interesting, on the day of Pentecost, when the 12 apostles spoke in tongues, it says they were speaking the wonderful works of God that day. That sounds like a little bit of praise, doesn't it? In Acts 10, at the household of Cornelius, when they spoke in tongues, the scriptures say they magnified God. Well, there's a little bit of praise there. Magnifying God, speaking the wonderful works of God. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that speaking in tongues is speaking to God. And in that chapter, Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. So we can pray and praise God both with the Spirit and with the understanding. When we praise God with our understanding, we mentally shift from dwelling on ourselves to dwelling on our loving God and Father, dwelling on a God of power, the creator of the heavens and the earth, if you will, a delivering God. And again, that kind of focus helps us to continue to trust and believe God. So the first three verses of this psalm, which is a psalm about great deliverance, begins with praising God, and then we read about his deliverance. And we're going to read that in a bit, but something very similar is in Psalm 103, if you turn over there. We see something very similar in Psalm 103. So look at the first two verses here in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. These first two verses, giving God the praise and the thanksgiving he deserves, forget not all his benefits. So that's praise and thanksgiving. And then it says, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that. Wow, look at what he does. That's who God does. That's what he does for us. And it's interesting there as well as in Psalm 34 that this psalm begins with praise and thanksgiving to God. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be thankful. Praise God and be thankful. Forget not all his benefits. Back up to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. You know, Psalm 56, verse 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But I want you to see verse 10. It says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. It says, thy vows are upon me. His vows, not our vows. His promises to us, not our promises to him. His vows are upon us. He's given us his vows. He's given us his promises. We'll praise him and thank him for his words of promises. We're thankful for the promises we read. That God, you would promise that to us in your word. Thank you for that. Verse 9 says, God is for me. It's like in Romans 8 where it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 9 says, for God is for me. So, how do you praise God? You just go around and go, praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, how do you praise someone else? Right? You tell them how great you think they are. You brag about them, right? Speak wonderful things about them. How do you magnify someone or boast about someone? You say things that magnifies them. You're such a great carpenter. My gosh, I've never seen anybody put something together that fantastic. It's just, gosh, you're such a great carpenter. Where did you learn all this? You know, it's bragging, it's boasting, it's praising, it's giving great recognition to. And that's what we do to God. There's a number of places in the Bible where people prayed and they began by giving God the praise. Remember when they came to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. And he said, okay, our Father. That's how it started. Our Father. Because he said, pray in this manner. He didn't say, somebody write this down, print it, memorize it. Okay. He just said, pray in this manner. Our Father, recognizing God as a Father, who art in heaven. Oh, because where am I? I'm on earth. So there's some great reverence, some great praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And then it's, you know, give us this day. But before the petition, if you will, it's like, look how great God is. Give him the praise he deserves. There are places in God's word where they praised God and then deliverance followed. But it's not a magical formula. Oh, good, just praise God and the deliverance follows. It's a principle of praise and thanksgiving. Thanking God and giving God the praise, boasting of him, exalting him, magnifying him, that gets our minds on the one who can and will deliver, protect, and heal us. It gets us to the point of trusting and believing in God. Look at Philippians chapter 4. This is a real familiar verse, but it's interesting. Philippians chapter 4. And then we're going to get to Psalm 34 in a minute. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or be anxious, mentally distracted, stressed out for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not just be anxious for nothing, but tell God what you need. It's not just letting our requests be made known, but prayer. That would include praise. With thanksgiving, thanking God for what he's already done for us. We let our requests be made known. Isn't that beautiful? And then the result, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think it was a couple of weeks ago we read about one of the Old Testament battles, 2 Chronicles 20. And if you can go back and look at that prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed, the beginning of that prayer, there's so much praise and recognition to God. You are God in heaven, and you have done this. And then, talk about the vows on us, reminding God that, hey, you know, we're your people. This is your land. I mean, it was all praise to God. And then, you know, we need your help. So we don't know what to do here. And they got a wonderful answer, right? God told them to not be afraid or dismayed. The battle's not yours, but the battle is God's. That was his promise to them. And then, if you remember in that record, they marched out next day, no fear, no doubt. And it says as they marched out singing praises to God. Isn't that interesting? Very cool. And as you know, they didn't need to fight. God took care of it for them. In Acts 16, when Paul and Silas had been beaten and then they were in prison at midnight, they prayed and sang praises. I don't know if I could have done that. But then, you know, they got delivered. Psalm 77. Let's look at this before we get back to Psalm 34. Psalm 77. There are places where in the book of Psalms where the psalmist was pretty human. Places where the psalmist was discouraged, overwhelmed. And we read about this in Psalm 77. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not, and my soul refused to be comforted. That's a pretty discouraging place to be. Doesn't matter what anybody says to me, I refuse to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. man, here's somebody that's depressed, discouraged, depressed, disappointed. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Yeah, I remember the good times. I remember when things were so much better than they are now. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own self, and my spirit made diligent search. All this looking inward in this time of trouble. It doesn't mean he wasn't having trouble. There was trouble, whatever the trouble was that he was going through. But all this inward looking, look what it resulted in. Verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? So God's not got any more favor for me. That's it. That's how low I am. Is his mercy clean, gone forever? I'm sure you can probably remember a verse that says his mercy endures forever. Is his mercy gone forever? Oh my goodness. Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? No more mercy. Promises gone. No more grace. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. This kind of thinking is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Here comes the praise. Here's the shift from all that I'm bearing, and so it's so hard to handle. I don't want to be comforted. Don't talk to me about anything. I'm so wiped out, I can't even speak. And there's no more promises from God. There's no more grace. There's no more mercy. Then it's like, oh, what am I doing? The shift to the praise of God and remembering God. Verse 10, this is my infirmity. I will remember the years of the right hand. That's where the power is. The right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy works, wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work, not my problems, and talk of thy doings. I'll talk about how great God is and the great things God has done. Now remember what he said, no more mercy, no more grace, no more. Now look what he says, verse 11. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Why, you have with your arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Well, there's quite a mental shift there, isn't there? It's beautiful. It's really beautiful to read that. And the shift from yourself to him. Psalm 34, let's read this now. And again, it's a great psalm of deliverance, but it's very noteworthy how God starts this psalm. Psalm 34, verse 1. And we'll just read it together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. What a verse. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Are there any troubles God can't save you out of? None. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or reverence him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman that trusts in him. Oh, fear or reverence the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that reverence him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing, unless the economy goes down the tubes. That's not in my Bible. I hope it's not in yours. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I'll teach you the reverence of the Lord. What man or woman is he that desireth life and loves many days, that he may see good? Well, keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. On the other hand, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Twice it's stated, all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Broken means to be torn apart like a shipwreck, shattered. God is near. He doesn't leave us ever. Others may leave, but God does not. He does not leave us when our heart is torn apart. He is near to comfort us when our heart's been in a shipwreck. And then it says, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Contrite means, spirit means a crushed spirit. God brings his help. He brings his comfort. He brings his deliverance when we are crushed emotionally. What a wonderful God. Verse 17 again, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh, he's near unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. What great deliverance that we read in this psalm. Great deliverance, great protection, great healing, great help. And again, it all begins, this psalm begins with lots of praise and recognition to God. I wanted to close in Ephesians chapter 3. Isn't that a great psalm? I love that psalm. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20, look at this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm glad you sang that song today. He's able. It's good. We also sang Glory to His Name, didn't we? That's very good, Dave. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him, what? Glory, praise, honor. His exceeding abundant power that is far above all that we ask or think is sandwiched here, sandwiched in between unto him. Verse 20, unto him. That's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end, amen. Unto him, let's give him the glory. Let's give him the praise that he deserves. Well, praise the Lord. A side note here before we close. Sometimes we say, hallelujah. You ever said that? Well, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah is a transliteration of a compound word. It's from the Hebrew words hallelu, which means praise, and Jah or Yah, which is a shortened form of Jehovah. Hallelu, praise, Jah, the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the basic meaning of the Hebrew word for praise means to shine, to extol, to boast. Some synonyms for praise would be cheer. Hey, you cheer them all. Esteem, compliment, approve, recognize, rave, give tribute, shine light on, put on the spotlight, show appreciation. The opposite of praise would be to blame, to criticize, disapprove, neglect, disregard, or disrespect. And did you know the last five psalms, that'd be Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 50, the last five psalms all begin with praise the Lord and end with praise the Lord. All the last five of them. Isn't that interesting? So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Perhaps we could add a little more praise into our prayer time. That'd be a good idea, don't you think? I think so. Well, let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you reveal in your word who you are, that you are a good God, a kind God. You are a God of power. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the one true God. Thank you for providing eternal life and making it so easy from just believing in your Son, that you would grant us eternal life. What a great God of love you are. Thank you for the many promises in your word that you've given to us, that you would extend yourself to promise so many wonderful things to each one of us. Father, that you would give us eternal life, that you would give us your Spirit. We're so grateful to you, Father, for all that you have blessed us with in our lives. And we continue to look to you. Thank you for allowing us to let our requests be made known unto you. Thank you for inviting us into your throne room of grace that we could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you, Father, that we have been invited to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. And Father, how humbling it is to read that nothing can separate us from your love. We praise you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. I ask you to bless everyone here in this room and those that are on the phone hookup. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful week of trusting you, believing you, and remembering some of those benefits that you've blessed us with. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's sing song number 119, Magnify the Name of the Lord. I thought that might be a good song to do today. Okay.